Hare Krishna. So today we are continuing reading on the nectarian instructions given by Prahlada Maharaj, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. And we will continue from Dasyam. Thank you very much for coming and taking shelter of the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. So, by the mercy of Shishi Rukmini Dwarkadish, Shishi Jagannath Baladeva and Subhadra, and Shishi Gauri Nitayan, for the pleasure of the all assembled devotees, we are continuing reading from the 7th canto, 5th chapter, 24th shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Prahlada Vacha Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam Itipum Sarpita Vishnu Bhaktischena Nava Lakshana Kriyata Bhagavatyadha Tanmanye Dhitam Uttamam. Acharya Prabhu, please advise, should we read word by word? Just translation. Okay. Surrender. So, Prahlada Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectable worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming His servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto Him. In other words, serving Him with body, mind, and words. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. And this was the reply of Prahlada Maharaj to the question of his father. Dasyam, in purport of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada explains about Dasyam as There is the following statement in regard to assisting the Lord as a servant. After many, many thousands of births, when one comes to understand that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, one can deliver others from this universe. If one simply continues to think that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, even without performing any other process of devotional service, he can attain full access. For simply by this feeling, one can perform all 9 processes of devotional service. So, I don't know. This seems like most dangerous type of surrender, becoming a servant. Yes? Just try, go onto the street and ask the person to become your servant. He will get horrified. Servant means become a slave. Yeah? It's so horrifying that everyone nowadays, in Kali Yuga especially, wants to become the master, the controller and enjoyer, to enjoy the resources of material nature is so common. It's so common just to exploit wherever, whatever you can. And even if you have nothing, exploit your bodily resources. Don't follow any rules. No rules. Just exploit, extract, squeeze anything what you can from your body. What is it? I recently heard some term which is called the monster of the parties. Yeah? So the person who is just enjoying a nightlife. Yeah? He just don't care for anything. He works hard. And Srila Prabhupada writes in his purpose, work hard daytime and engage in sex nighttime. So just exploit your bodily resources to the full extent. And if something doesn't start working wrong or you feel weaknesses, oh, don't worry, just surrender unto the Supreme Personality of a doctor. He will solve any problem of yours. Just have enough money and tell what's your problem. And he will fix you like car's mechanic. Oh, if there is a need, he can change you some limb or some organ or whatever, transplant. I remember speaking once with the one professor, famous professor in our part of the world, who was the member of Science Academy of USSR. And he was very famous because he was the first one who started the heart transplantation. He did transplantation for some relative of Fidel Castro. He did transplantation for Gorbachev's some relative. He really was famous. And now just a few years ago we brought him to India. So last lecture I told you the person who wanted to shave himself on the street, this was the one, professor. So we brought him to India, and he admitted at some point in some discussion, he admitted, you know what, I remember those surgical transplantations I was doing, taking some donor's heart and transplanting to some patient's chest. And he said, I was holding in my heart, the heart, a live heart. And I know that for me depends the success of the surgical operation. But he said, I have to admit that I knew and I know well that I am not controller of the life. I may do perfectly well the surgical transplantation itself, but I can't give a guarantee that the patient survives. I'm holding a heart and I feel it's alive. It's alive. And I need to put it into other patient's chest. But I am not the controller. He's an honest person. He could become proud of doing those transplantations and becoming famous and like that. But he was an honest person. He admitted, he said, I have to admit, I am not the controller. I can't control the life inside the heart. I can't control the patient's life. Will he survive? Will he not? We can only pray. So just see how naive and how stupid the conditioned soul is, thinking that, oh, as long as I've got this resource which is called my body, I can do anything with it. I can not sleep if there are opportunities for sense enjoyment. I can exploit it to the limits in any way. Sit at the TV and look through the movies hours and hours and hours. I can eat all the content of the fridge. I can drink anything, like what is it, this fiery water, like alcohol. I can drink and drink until I lose my memory and I will not remember what happened next. And it's so much fun when tomorrow somebody's telling you, oh, you know, you did so many stupid things, and you tell, I don't remember. So it's called fun. You drink yourself until you don't lose your memory. You fell down under the table, and then next day you enjoy the pastimes of your activity. When people tell you what stupid and what nonsense you were doing. So this is an unfortunate situation. And people extend their exploitation mentality to the nature. They suck the blood of the planet in the form of oil, not caring how the living entity, which is called Earth, Mother Earth, how she's feeling. Yes, we know how she was feeling, how she's feeling, because when Krishna sucked all the life force from Putana, you saw what happened to the living entity. Okay, she was demon. But when Krishna can suck all the life force from anybody and anything. So conditioned soul exploiting the resources of material nature in the form of his body, or the planet where he stays, or in the form of other living entities, by trying to make someone your slave. Yeah, so it's so popular. Go to the countries of third world, have in the pocket a little bit more money, and imagine yourself to be the controller and the master. And everyone else is just your servants. Yes? Just feel yourself proud. I've got money, you don't, so you serve me. So much fun. Some devotees in Europe also once told me their life's story from Yugoslavia. When they were coming to serve in the temples of West Europe. So some of them became upset. They said that we were feeling ourselves like Yugo slaves. So you know, they felt to be exploited, do everything and anything. And this is the reality. We can't escape or forget those things. It's everywhere. Even when we are in Krishna consciousness, still tendency is there. Four imperfections of living entity: to cheat, fell under influence of illusion, senses imperfect. So it's the tendencies are there to lord it over, to feel yourself the controller and enjoyer. The tendencies are there. So we can't really think if I am in Krishna consciousness, I am pure devotee. Yes, we would like to. Yesterday in the program, there was a complaint towards Srila Prabhupada, one person. One lady in the Namahata program yesterday, she told why Srila Prabhupada couldn't preach in that way so that it would be acceptable to everyone. So that the masses of people could take to the Krishna consciousness easily. Why you need to dress in such a strange way? Why you have to again and again put forward those regulative principles? Why there should be so many of them? Four. Why could there be just one? So, you know, Niranjan Maharaj, His Holiness Niranjan Maharaj, in his last, in his recent lectures, he stresses one very important point, very important, boiling the milk. What happens when you boil and boil and boil and boil down the milk? It thickens. It becomes more sweet. So, Niranjan Maharaj is citing the Srila Prabhupada's recitations about it, that we don't need to expand unlimitedly in terms of amount of people joining us, joining Krishna consciousness movement. We have to improve the quality of the devotees practicing Krishna consciousness. Because even yesterday in the program also, some person asked, do you have in your movement pure devotees? Do you have self-effulgent or liberated souls? People are looking for the quality. People are looking for the quality so that they would, seeing a devotee, would have no doubt that he is renouncing all the enjoyment mentality, that he is fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the spiritual master, and he is just full-time, literally full-time devotee. But when they test and when they check the devotee's character, they see different anarthas. And materialists are very expert in, yes, in fault finding. This is the sweetest candy all over the three worlds. You know? I am perfect, but everyone else, my God, look at them. So, this is the way how people perform pragya aparat. They use their intelligence in a wrong way. Everyone is educated. Everyone knows how to read and write. But what they use this valuable facility, not to read shastra, not to remember verses, not to associate with sadhus, sadhu sangha. They prefer asat sangha so that they could point out the faults of others by covering his own ones. As soon as you see someone's imperfection, in the back of your mind there is another mantra. I am perfect. Just see? He is imperfect. He is terrible. And in the back of his mind there is a mantra. And you are perfect. You are the best. So, it's always a conditioned soul being tricked by the mind. It always being tricked, whatever it does, there is no advantage. On the other hand, Srila Prabhupada says that as long as a person surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, immediately all the best qualities develops in his character. In 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Uddhava asked Krishna, Dear Lord, please tell me, what is poverty and what is richness in this world? Who is to be considered a rich person and who is to be considered a poverty-stricken person? And Krishna says in an amazing way, universally, in a way that it applies to any time, any place, and any circumstances. Because Krishna tells Arjuna, tells Uddhava, he says, my dear Uddhava, you know, a poverty-stricken person is the one, and he says very simple, who always complains, who is always unhappy about his present situation. He complains about the parents, he complains about the country, he complains about his financial situation, about physical situation. He is just unhappy all the time, continuously. Full-time unhappy person. And why is that? Because it's inadequate. We have air to breathe, we have sun, we have land, we have water, we have dress. We were born naked. Now we have dress, we have bed, we have roof. Oh, that we take by default, as a matter of fact. But such a miserly person always meditates upon what he lacks. So he's just cursed personality. He's a degrading personality. He can't appreciate what he got in his life by the Lord's mercy, and he always looks for what he misses. And that means that he's a slave of his mind, because there is no resources all over the three worlds which would satisfy your mind demands. No. No possibility. It is said that even the most envious cobra, the most envious snake, you can still pacify with a flute. An amazing thing is that the snakes doesn't have ears and they don't hear the sound. And they are not pacified by the sound, they are pacified by the movement of the flute. Still, snake is considered most envious living entity, and even sadhu is happy when the snake is being killed. So even the snake can be pacified, but there is no resources all over the three worlds which would pacify the demands of uncontrolled mind. No way. And there is a wonderful story and description about these qualities in Bali Maharaja's story in Vamanadeva. When Vamanadeva offered, when Bali Maharaj offered to Vamanadeva anything, I am the Lord of, I am emperor of three worlds. It's not of the planet, not of the country. He's the emperor, he's the ruler of all the three planets of the universe. And he offered Vamanadeva, ask for anything. So he said, no, just three steps. So Bali Maharaj became upset, what you think? I am just what? Miserly person, I am emperor, I can give you anything, and you are asking just for three steps. And Vamanadeva preaches. He gives examples of the names of different previous rulers of the world who had everything and were not happy. Were ruling all the world and still not happy. Having any resource available, possible and possible in this three worlds, still not happy. So why the use of pursuing this path of gaining, getting, gaining, having? Why? It's already a path of bankruptcy. So this concept, this feeling, Srila Prabhupada says, just by this feeling, one can perform all nine processes of devotional service, just feeling oneself a servant. Just feeling yourself a servant. And there is lots of misconceptions about that, because nowadays people immediately imagine that this is slavery. Servant means you have become a slave. You don't have your own life. But they are stupid enough so that to think a little bit broader, that a servant lives in the same house as a master. A servant eats the same food as the master. And it's even more advantageous situation, because you don't carry so much responsibility as the master carries, who needs to maintain the servants, maintain the house, and like that. You enjoy all the resources the master provides in his, through his property, and you just do whatever is according to your nature and your ability, serve the master. And it's the safest situation, except of you have to fight over your tendency of becoming a master. There is one nice story when Srila Prabhupada went to Japan to put an order of printing Bhagavad Gita, I think, and he talked with some manager there. And afterwards, they asked the manager, "What's your goal of life?" So he just took his visit card from the bottom and put his visit card name on the top. So he admitted, "My goal of life to be on the top, to be the top manager, to be the owner, to be the controller." So people are by these values, and at the end of life get disappointed, for sure, 200% sure, guarantee, get disappointed. Because you invest into the thing which is already known to be bankrupting: body, fame, mind. Sure, at the end of life it will bankrupt. All your investments will go through the window. You think you want to be eternal and healthy and young and beautiful, to become beautiful, to be beautiful so that everyone would be attracted to you. You could exploit them, because if somebody is attracted, he's dependent on you. And if he's dependent, then you can tell him anything you want him to do and he will do. So, we want to be beautiful, we want to be strong. Just for the sake, we could enjoy and exploit. Same thing with the richness. Please forgive me for bad news. But this is the reality. An amazing thing. I'm always very much amazed about, you tell the devotees the worst news possible in this world and they smile. Because they are realists. They are the best realists. They know. And they smile at this illusory situation in this world. They just smile. Like last lecture, I told you about the situation in Moscow when devotees, when all over Russia is forbidden now to do harinams and to distribute books. And devotees just smile. They just smile because they do it anyway. I remember in my times when we were printing books underground and then officially, and we never had a really official situation when we could distribute books. It always was very on the edge. You go and police, you'll take to the police station. So we were, at some point we didn't have any temple. And we were doing everyday harinams on the main street, pedestrian street, Arbat street in Moscow. Every day we were taken by police. And the next day we're on the street. They take us to police. We go to the street next day. We're taken to the police. Next day we're on the street. They take. What they can do. They can do, you know, kick you from the job place, kick you from the universities, but we already didn't had any jobs and we were finish our schools or universities or not studying. So socially they couldn't do nothing to us. And already there were times when they couldn't put us into the prisons because all the devotees in the world were protesting. And Gorbachev was in rule, protesting, release the Hare Krishnas from the prisons. They couldn't put us back again. So, sometimes devotees ask, where did you getting the courage to act like that? I don't know. There was no question of courage. It was lots of fun. It was lots of fun. We were just few of us and we were fighting all the system. We were not surrendering. We were not fighting. We were just doing our thing. They thought we are fighting. We had so much fun going onto the street to do Harinam. That's it. It's their problem. They don't like us. It's their problem. They forbid us. It's their problem. They take us to the police station. We don't care. It's so much fun. I don't know. Dasa, dasa, nudasa. It's a great honor. It's a great facility. It's a great pleasure to feel oneself as a servant because it's an adequate feeling. To feel oneself a master is it's screwed mentality. It's not proper. It's inadequate. To feel oneself a master. It's illusion because you may think, then only I will be happy. No. This is when you will feel miserable. If you don't believe, speak with rich people, with famous people, with beautiful people, with strong people, speak with them. And you will feel they are attracted to our philosophy. They are attracted to the devotees because I'm meeting different people, scientists, TV people, whatever. It's always they're attracted to the philosophy of the soul, of the Supreme Lord, of karma reincarnation, what to speak. Everyone just heard something, but when you come and you, in an authorized way, tell them, this is in Bhagavad Gita, this is in that page, this is the shloka which sounds, which describes what is karma, what is reincarnation, what is surrender. They are just amazed. So that's why just follow the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. And he said, repeat what I told. Don't invent anything yourself. Just repeat what I told. What I said. And the Shakti is there, the mercy is there, everything is there. And you will be amazed that you can preach, any of you, and every single one can preach to anybody in this world. Doesn't matter how high or how low he is. Just go and preach. Take any opportunity. Yaridehe tarikaha Krishna Padesh. Whomever you meet, try to preach. Sometimes I fly, sometimes I've been driven by the car, meet different people. And if you're dressed by the devotional dress, people get attracted. Some are surprised. Some yesterday I had a walk, my japa walk on the beach. Oh, everyone just looks at you thinking. Recently we flew to the Mars, so maybe we brought someone from there. He doesn't look real. He's strange. And some people say, from far as, oh, Hare Krishna, Krishna consciousness. So just by being a devotee, you make people chanting. So this is preaching. And sometimes comes, approaches to you, if he's not afraid to approach you, and ask the question. And just speak. Just don't hold the mercy in your heart. Share it with everyone. Look like a devotee, dress like a devotee, behave like a devotee, and be a devotee. And you will be amazed about the opportunities of preaching opportunities in your life anywhere. What in June it was the Ratha Yatra in New York, and I met His Holiness Bhaktivrinda Govinda Maharaj. He was my GBC in Russia for years and years. He's very merciful and kind. If you don't like this word,
Hare Krishna. We should wait till the class is over before putting the gates down. It's very disturbing. Anyway, thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice class, for sharing the contents of your heart. Two things I wanted to touch on. You mentioned that story about Prabhupada going to Daini Pond, and the manager who put his card on top. So interestingly enough, I buy the printing for the BBT, and we deal with a press in China called Regent Publishing. They're one of the big printers there. So I met the owner recently. And he came to America a few months back. And he was at Daini Pond when Prabhupada visited. He was there. He was an underling. And obviously he had the desire in his heart to be on top. So eventually he bought it. He founded his own publishing company. And now he's printing books for the BBT. So he was shocked by the coincidence himself. So he wanted to come here to meet us. So he came and met us.
Haribo.
And then the other thing I wanted is you left us hanging. For the sake of the audience, you should give both parts. You said that Uddhava asked Krishna two questions, and you gave the answer to one. You need to give the other answer. You said who was a poor man, so now you have to say who is a rich man.
Sometimes I purposely do that so that to test are the devotees attentive and listening. It's a tactics. You just touch a few points and leave hanging. And then he goes, what about the next? Yes. So then Krishna says that actually the rich person is the one who has the best qualities of the character. He's the rich person. Because this complaining mentality, this is what robs you and makes you pure from money. Your pockets become pure, no contamination of money. So these qualities of complaining, always unhappy, and the good qualities of, like we know, being merciful, not merciless, being grateful, feeling like applicable to today's class, dasyam. Yeah? Feeling always in the mood of servant. It's adequate mentality. This is what makes a person rich. And it doesn't matter, even the goddess of fortune may come and surrender and tell you how I can serve you. And this is we know the story that behind these doors, the personifications of the liberation, mukti, standing there with folded hands and waiting until devotees will start leaving the temple room and asking, maybe you need liberation, maybe you need this, maybe you need that. Just waiting to be accepted. So good qualities. Srila Prabhupada says every devotee should behave as a gentleman. Radhanath Maharaj in some lectures he was mentioning that what's the point of practicing a spiritual process If you don't develop the good qualities of character, if you are nasty, if you are complaining, if you are angry, if you are, I don't know, violent, whatever, what's the use? Chanting Hare Krishna and reading philosophy and being unhappy. I don't know what's wrong. Twenty years ago, one devotee asked me, why are you looking so happy all the time? And I told him, is there any other option? I came to Krishna's shelter, to take Krishna's shelter. I have the best grandfather all over the three worlds. I have the best books, best philosophy, best food, best association. Where will you find all over the three worlds the association of sadhus? So easily available, no payment, no club entrance. Where? So where is the reason to be unhappy and complaining? So just be aware. Never complain about anything. Always be happy. Chant Hare Krishna. Love the devotees and serve them. Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki. Sadhu Sangha ki. Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much.